I'm glad that in my life, in my spiritual walk, God has put me in a place where it doesn't matter how I feel or what's not going on that ought to be going on, I think differently. And He's still working on me. That I stay focused on Him, not the circumstances around me. And I said this the other week, and I'm glad I've said this to you before. I don't go to the scripture to find a message for you. Wherever I am in my studying of God's word, it's what I try to bring forth to you. And this title of this subject to me right now is where I am with God. Heaven is silent. And as pastor, I stand here and tell you that. Because if I lie to you, I can't lie to God, because He knows. And just so you won't think I'm there by myself, some of you, if not all of you, is the reason why there's silence in my prayer life from heaven. Because you won't do what God have ordained you to do. And we got to get away from that. We all love to hear stories about answered prayer. I get a thrill of hearing accounts about God's miraculous intervention in people's lives. It motivates us to be more diligent about prayer, so we pray. We are specific, we are confident, we are bold, and we are absolutely convinced that God will answer. We feel a level of faith and enthusiasm that we never experienced before. We ask, we see, and we knock. But God is yet silent. The thing that we wanted does not materialize. Our zeal is crushed, and I wonder what happened. We ask ourselves, and God, is it worth it all? What happened? I ask myself that about me, and I ask myself that about God. Did I do something wrong? Does God ever hear me when I pray? Or, in fact, does He care at all? Well, I got to get up off my lifting myself up and know that God's not answering or no is not just limited to those who are living sinful lives. No matter how spiritual you may be, there are going to be times that God says no to your prayer. It doesn't matter how much you sacrifice or endure for the cause of Christ. It doesn't matter how much you have accomplished for the cause of Christ. There will be times that it feels like God has turned a deaf ear to your request. And you look right around the corner or next door, and there's Sister Sally or Brother Joe, who goes to nobody's church, drunk every night, and everything seems to be going all right. Well, when heaven is silent. Brothers and sisters, we need to do some things. Point number one, we need to treat the trials or the difficulties as a gift from God. I know the passage of scripture that Minister Allen read was 5 through 10, but I want you to drop down to 7. I'm going to just talk about 7 through 10. Paul tells us in that passage that in verse 7, I think it is, said, it is given to me. Whatever the trials are in your life, you can treat them as nuisance to be ignored. And eventually think that it will go away. That noise that you hear in your car, oh, it's not anything. It'll go away in a couple of days. The numbness that's in your left arm that seems to keep bothering you all the time, it'll go away. And you don't even pray about them because you refuse to acknowledge their existence. Punishment is to be endured. Well, we tell ourselves, Mama was like that. She had a catch in her left hip, and now I'm at that age, and I got one in mine. It's just a burden that I have to bear. How do you fight battles like this? We need to accept them as gifts. The problem is acceptance. We don't see God as a God that allows difficult situations to come into our lives. I stop by to tell you that they will come. And if you're a child of God, you will have to endure when heaven is silent. Or when I'm at a place where I don't want to accept what he's saying. Accept the gift that's being given to you. And enjoy the gift. Because gifts are given to people by people that love them. Hello, somebody. Oh, yeah. That worrisome child, that contrary husband or wife that just don't seem to want to do right. There's a gift. Open the gift up and enjoy it. Because you were given the gift because somebody loved you. And we do things for people that we love. Yes, the gift might not be all right now, but keep the gift and don't throw it away. Don't do like some of us do those Christmas gifts we get that we don't like. We put them on the shelf until next year, and then we recycle it. We give it to somebody else, but I gave you that gift because I was in love with you and I still am. Open the gift up and use it. It was given to you. Treat the trials and the tribulations that's in your life as gifts from God. And I ask you a question that you don't need to answer. Do you know that he loves you? If you know that he loves you, why would he give you something that was bad? He loves you and he will give you the best gift that you've ever had. James chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Not if. When. Meaning that you are going to fall in them, but just count it all joy. I keep saying this every now and then, that if you want to tick the devil off in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of what you're going through, just haul off and give God a glory and a praise time. Don't let it be because you think you're out of it. God, I'm in the middle of it and I don't see my way out of it, but I'm going to praise you anyhow. You got to know that God would not allow something to happen to you that he was not going to get the glory from. We see ourselves in the middle of our situation all the time. You need to see yourself on the other side. I don't know the song, but it says, after I got over, I look back and wonder how I made it over. I told y'all, I might not be look like I'm listening, but I'm listening. God will help you if we will receive what he has to give us. That high blood pressure that you have, treat it as a gift. Treat it as a gift. You got to, because God can get you through it. You had something to do with what happened to you anyway, but God can get you through it if you treat it as it's a gift from him and just work to the glory of God. Point number two. Remember what God has already said in his word or done for you. When God doesn't seem to be saying anything, rest your assurance on what he has already done. When you can't see him working in your life or in your problem, just know that God is up to something. And you can rest assured that your ankle will hold. Wind may come. Trouble may come, but if you drop anchor, see, you are on a ship, you are on a journey, you going somewhere, but you got an anchor,
yes, sir.
And you got to drop anchor, mm-hmm. And you got to have an anchor that will hold according to the boat that you're in,
yes, sir.
And your anchor got to reach the bottom of the depths of the lake that you're in. And your anchor will hold. See, sometime when you drop anchor in a boat, if it's a 14 footer and it's fiberglass, if you just drop an anchor on the front of the boat, the back of the boat would turn. But the boat has not gone any place. It's at the same place. The scenery will change, but the anchor is still holding. See, you got to know, you got to remember where God have already brought you from. When I'm in the middle of some trouble, I forget about where he have brought me from. I think about just where I am right now. That's why I told you, that's why I got the subject that when heaven is silent, seems like God's not talking to me now. Seems like he got me out here in the middle of the lake and he left me by myself. But brothers and sisters, I stopped by to tell you that I dropped anchor. And my anchor is in the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
The boat can go wherever it want to go.
Oh, yeah.
But my anchor is not going any place. Mm-hmm. Trouble may come. You can raise all the hell you want to in the church. But I'm going to hold with my anchor.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you go or when you don't come or when you don't go. My anchor is going to hold because my anchor is in the word of the Lord. Don't know where it is. It's somewhere in John. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. No matter what happens or what comes or who goes, God will not change. He will remain the same. He will change me. I need to remember where he already brought me from. And I know where he brought me from. He didn't bring me this far to leave me alone. My mind just went to brother Moses when he was out there in the wilderness with all those people. He went up in the mountain to talk to God. And he was talking to God. And God had told him that he was going to leave them because they were sinful people. Moses stood up to God and said, wait a minute, God. Said, these are not my people. These people belong to you, said, and you brought us out here. Said, you, if you leave us now, everybody gonna talk about you not a good God. And God promised Moses that he would not leave him. And I stand on the same word. Some of you don't want to do anything but sit on your stool or do nothing and gripe and complain about everything that God is not doing. But I stop by to tell you, he's working. He's working, and he's working in your life and my life. But he, every now and then, we I don't know about y'all, but I begin to take him for granted, because what he done for me yesterday, I always see him as doing that right now. But I forget about something, that I need to do my part in doing what thus saith the Lord, even when nobody else will do. You got to do, because you are responsible for your own salvation. And you can help somebody else, but you don't need to let them deter you. If I let you deter me, my anchor's not holding. And see, brothers and sisters, that's why I try to tell the people that stay here and study with me, that if you're going to pastor, you're going to get lonesome, and you're going to feel like that nobody is listening to anything you said, because it doesn't seem as if their spiritual lives are being changed. But God fix me this week, y'all. So I'm going to continue to preach to you. I'm going to continue to pastor you. If you look like you're not doing anything, you're not changing spiritually, I'm praying that God is working behind the scene in all of our lives, just like he is mine. I can't see what he's doing in yours, but after a while, by and by, if you are an apple tree, you're going to bear an apple after a while. So see, I'm just keep praying, and I'm going to keep pouring the fertilizer to you. The fertilizer is this word of God. And after a while, by and by, a rain's going to come. And when the rain comes, the fruit will be produced. You just got to know that God is up to something in your life. That's what I've been asking him this week. God, what you going to do next? But God, I'm at a place where you don't seem to be listening to me. Maybe I'm out of order. If I'm out of order, whip me back in order, because I belong to you. See, God is a good God, and what he's already done, he'll do it again. But we got to stay with him. Listen, I wrote this down, so I need to tell you about him. Psalms 23 is one of the places I went to this week to kind of get me back on target, and I couldn't get any farther than the first verse. It said, the Lord is, and I stopped right there. He's everything that I need him to be. And then he let me go to Psalm 91. Said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I said, God, let me abide within your shadow. Don't want to get up the tree. I just want to be in your shadow. Don't want to be right standing next to the trunk. Just let me be in the shadow. Because if I'm in your shadow, you got me covered. I need to remember where you brought me from, what you done for me. Thank you, Lord, for just being God. Point number three, Paul said, you need to continue praying to this God. Paul said, I prayed three times, and I pleaded with God. Paul's prayer was persistent, and it was passionate. When Paul talked about praying three times, it doesn't mean a casual prayer. Lord, I thank you for this food we're about to receive. Nourishment of our bodies, amen. That's breakfast, lunch. Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive for the nourishment of our body. That's one. Father, we thank you for the food we're about to receive for the nourishment of our body. No, 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 no. You need to be in love with him. You need to be in love with him. That's casual. That's nothing. But you need to get there with God. You need to express your feelings to him. Let him know what you're thinking about. Plead in me. I beseech you, brother. I beg you. I encourage you. I need you to come. God, I need you right now. When it's me.
the Syrophoenician woman. When she met him, she told him she shouldn't be blessed anyway. But she met him and she told him her daughter was sick. Do you think she just said my daughter was sick? Mama, when your child is sick, it's the same way. Same way. You need to be passionate with God about what you need for him to do. And when not that encourages him, but that lets him know where your heart is. All right. If it's just like passing that stop sign out there, then you don't need to waste his time. Yes, he's gonna hear you. But you need to be passionate with him because you have received no, and it's something that you think to you that you need, and God have provided before, but this time he will not provide. We need to become passionate with God and let him know that we're serious about what we're saying. You just found the house that you need. And it fits your need. And you go and apply for a loan. And when you walk in, they look at you and tell you that you don't look like you can buy this house or return your way. If you take that, you won't get the house. Amen. Deacon Westbrook would know this guy. Some of the rest of you in here may know him too. There used to be a car salesman up there named Buck Lee. And before he started selling cars, he was a farmer. And he wore his overalls, and overalls got a button, a pocket right here. He went to Pensacola. His wife had told him she wanted a Cadillac. He went to Pensacola to buy her a Cadillac. But he had just got off the tractor, so he just drove to Pensacola in his work clothes. Went in the car lot and he saw the car. He said, I want to buy that car there. The man looked at him in his overalls and his broken ends and said, no, you need to buy this car over here because this one is more your style. He reached up in his pocket and said, thank you. Said, I had this check, and walked out. Went down the road to another dealer, bought the car, drove it back up there to let the man see the car that he had bought. Now, why did he tell us that country story? Because when you, from just looking at you, might not think that God is going to bless you, but because of the preparation that you have made before, God will bless you. Might not look like a blessing, but I'm a blessing. The man, the salesman missed the sale because he was going by the way that the man looked. Don't think that God won't bless you because you might not look good. He sees the spirit of people because he is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We think that no with God is no like it's no with us. God will not give you a blessing that you are not ready to receive. And that's why some of us are not blessed, because we're not ready to receive it. I heard you. You get ready by submitting yourself to Jesus Christ, humbling yourself, and come boldly before the throne of grace. God, here I am, a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner, but I want to be forgiven for my sin. And he'll do that. He will do that. When that Syrophoenician woman asked him to heal her child, and I think where we mess up, we get confused in the Bible when it says, like it said, she pleaded with him. It's not just one time. Yeah, it's five or six times. She kept, you keep right after God. Not that he does not hear you the first time, but we need to stay there for ourselves so we can persevere. We want everything microwavable. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes and a half, and I want to be drinking coffee.
Yeah.
Well, when you used to have to perk it, the ice probably wouldn't have melted before then. But we got to understand that God, time is in his hand, and it will come whenever he deems it necessary to answer. The first response that most people give when God doesn't come through for them is that we just give up, go home, and stop praying.
Well,
he didn't hear me, so I'm not going to be praying anymore. Prayer does not work. Brothers and sisters, that's not pleading. That's asking. God just might be waiting on you to plead with him for what he has already promised.
Yes.
Everything God's going to do for us, it's already done. He made a way. He promised us that he would save us. He promised us healing. He promised us success. But we just got to stay there. We got to stay there expecting him to do it. Pray expecting God to answer your prayer. If you don't expect him to do it, don't ask him. Keep it to yourself. And I know I'm preaching to me more than I am anybody else. Because that's another sermon. Now, I ask myself this question. Paul tells us that he prayed 3 times, and then he quit. He quit praying. And at first, when I first got that in my head, I said, I couldn't figure out why he quit. But I stayed right there, and I said, why would he? Because God had answered him. He had answered Paul. That thorn was going to stay in his side. He said, I keep hearing y'all say it, but I don't want you to eat it just yet. When we get to the place where we know that God have answered us, we need to get to the place where we receive that in our spirit. Was the thorn still in Paul's side? Yes. Did he recognize it? No. Because he had received the word from God. And y'all have to excuse me. I don't know about nobody else's life, really, but mine. And I know some of you get tired of hearing it, but you won't hear it. When I was supposed to have had diabetes, I took the medicine, I went to the doctors, I pricked my hand, I got my A1C checked every 90 days, but in my spirit, I never received it. I always told myself that you are not diabetic, but I treated myself as if I was, but in my spirit, I did not receive that. So many times we receive whatever is there. I still got the same blood in me. Didn't get no blood transfusion. But what I forgot was that it didn't just start 2 or 3 years ago when I stopped taking the medicine. I had been praying about that ever since I started taking the medicine. But I continued to take it. It was there, but I did not receive it. And that's what it was with Paul. He quit because he received the answer from God. He quit praying about it. I don't ask God to heal me from diabetes anymore. Because I received the answer. I don't have it. I did what they told me, and then after I told them I wasn't that, and they kept telling me I was. And when it finally happened, I went in the hospital with shingles. Had to go in the hospital with shingles to get off the medicine for diabetes. I didn't go for diabetes. I went for the shingles. And the first time they checked my blood, they said, Mr. Baggett said, we're not going to give you this metformin anymore. I said, because it looked like, so this may affect your kidneys. I said, thank you, Lord. I had to go through all of that. And if you've never had shingles, you don't want it. You don't want it. It's one of the most hurtful things that you can ever have. So if you're over 65 and you haven't had the shingle shot, go get it. That's free. If God's waiting on you to show him that you're serious about what you're doing, then you're going to get an answer. Paul did not pray but three times because he got the answer. What we need to do, we need to pray until something happens. And they call it push. Pray until something happens. Don't give up praying until something happens. Keep praying about the problem until something happens. And God will let you know what has happened because you staying in tune with him. And if God doesn't change you, he'll change the situation. It will be different. Don't give up praying because it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I read a story about a little boy who was in school, and this is back when the day when they would let you shoot marbles in school. He was shooting marbles, and he had if you've never shot marbles, this won't mean anything to you. He had a special toy. Toy is the one you shoot with to knock all the other marbles out, and he lost it. He didn't know where it was, and he went in the classroom when he was talking to his teacher, and he said, will you pray for me tonight that I find my favorite shooter? She said, yes, we'll pray about it. They prayed about it, and he prayed about it and went home. Come back the next morning. She asked him, she said, did you find your shooter? He said, no, I didn't. She said, did you pray about it? He said, yes, I prayed about it. She said, and you still didn't find it? He said, no, I didn't find it. He said, but God took the desire of me wanting it away from me. See, some things you want God to do. Yeah, you need to do some of them. He took his desire for that one shooter so then he could find another. Point number four. Listen to God's voice. My grace is sufficient. We allow so many things to compete for our attention in our lives. We're always so busy. We got to do this. We got to do that. We have to make time to eat. We have to make time to take a bath because we got so many things to do. Before I leave here, I got another appointment someplace else I need to be. Sometimes the only way we are willing to listen to what God is saying is to get our attention, is to knock us down so we can't get away. He says, be still and know that I am God. It may be that we have to be on our face in sorrow and suffering before we are willing to listen to God. Listen to the voice of God. God will talk to you if you're willing to listen to him. We need to set aside a specific time and place to get alone and be with God. No matter how busy your day is, you need to find time to be alone with God. Listen to the voice of God. Don't limit where the voice of God can reach you. You know, in some places on the cell phones, you get in what they call dead zones. You don't need to get it everywhere else except the church building on Sunday morning. There's a dead zone for you hearing from God. Duh. You need to be able to hear from him any place. You need to be in touch with him because he's always available for you. In the middle of a crisis, you will hear all kind of voices telling you what you need to do. Anybody been there when everybody else know how to solve your problem except you? You need to get alone and with God, and God will provide you with an answer. But now, just because he doesn't answer you when you call, you might not have called him in 6 months. So he may need to just hear your voice again. When we listen to all the excess noise around us, we need to have filters on our mind so we can filter out everything but the voice of God. When we filter all of that out, God comes through loud and clear. When you know who you're listening to, you need to know who you're listening to. You need to know. Some of you, you can hear a song and you know exactly who it is. Why not be that way about hearing from God? You talk to him and you listen to him so much. You know his voice. You're listening to him. You're waiting to hear him. You want to hear him. You filter out everything but him. And then he comes in, radio frequency. Some of the guys used to be on CBs and they could tell you what frequency every station was on because they listened to them. We need to know the frequency that God is on so we can listen to him and he can come in. Whenever you are ready to receive it. And in some radio stations, if you get so close to one of them, it's so powerful, it'll bleed over. If you got your radio set for God, can't anything else bleed over? If it do, you will filter it out. You will filter it out because you are listening to the voice of God. God will give you the particular direction that he needs for you to go. And you might not understand it while you're going, but if you listen to him and take his direction, then he will guide you where he needs for you to go. And sometimes we don't listen to God and we go the wrong direction. If you get back in touch with him, he'll redirect you. He'll reroute you. He's just like your GPS system. When you turn wrong and you let your GPS system know that you turned wrong, it will redirect you back to the place where you need to go. Might not have one in my car, but I know how they work. It will redirect you if you pass by where you're supposed to go. It will tell you turn left at the next sign, then do two rights, and you're back at the same spot. God will redirect you. This is why some of us get in the situation that we're in. God was trying to direct you, and you went in the wrong direction. You knew where you were going, and you went wrong. But if you get back in touch with him, he will redirect you and put you back on track. And that's why a lot of us are where we are now. Because we got off track and we got back in touch with him and he redirected us and now we're on the right track to get back to where he needs us to be. We need, when we get off track, to get retracked is to go to the Bible and find where the word for us to be. Judge what you are feeling by what has already been revealed to you in the Bible. And when it's revealed to you in the Bible, 9 out of 10 times you can relate it back to something that has happened in your own life where God has brought you through that. Your spirit, God's spirit that he puts in you when you are reading his word will not conflict with where he needs for you to go. And let me say this, don't think that you can see the outcome of where God is having you to go and what he's having you to do. You can't see the outcome. He already knows it. That's why we need to trust him and know that he will not lead us down the wrong path. We need to listen to the voice of God. And when we listen to his voice, we will hear him and he will direct us in the right path. Point number 5. Trust in God's power, not your own power. Paul was questioning this in the midst of even asking God to take this problem away. His reason was because 9 out of 10, I feel like he's like most of us. He thought if God would take this problem away from him, he could serve him better. No. Because of where Paul had been and what God had allowed him to do, Paul needed this thorn in his side. And there are some Pauls in the church today. We need the thorn in our side so that we can be reminded that we are not all of that and a bag of chips. That you are just like everybody else. Because God blessed you and you are able to do this and you are able to do that. And everybody talk about how great you are. Your head will swell. You will begin to think that you are somebody. You will begin to think that I did this and I did that. Whenever God was all doing it all the time. But you will get beside yourself. No. The thorn in your side is to keep you from getting beside yourself. Paul said, I've been to see the third heaven and I saw some things and heard some things that does not need to be uttered. See, and there's one advantage that God have on us that we won't never have on ourselves is that he knows the outcome. He knows the beginning and the end. We only know the beginning. And so, see, God knew that if Paul, he would get beside himself. So, therefore, the thorn was in his side. And he said, he gave the devil to buffer me. This is why sometimes the devil won't leave you alone. The devil does. If the devil had any sense at all, he wouldn't bother people that are God-like people. Because when I'm not lost. I'm marinating you on that one. When we get in situations that the devil get to buffing us and everything get to going wrong, we sure enough stay on our knees then. All right. We don't pray them Sunday morning nicey uppity prayers. We get ugly with God. We pray until we cry, and then we cry some more, and then we get so exhausted that we can't get up, but we stay there and we still pray. That's what needs to happen to if the devil was, he'd leave us alone, because all that does is drive a believer to stay closer to God because the situation gets so unbearable. And this is where Paul was with the thorns in his side. He wanted God to take it away, but he wouldn't. But if you are a child of God and you are serving him, you know that anything that comes your way had to come by God. All you got to do is think about old man Job. The devil went before God to see if he could get Job straight. God told him he could do anything but take his life. He took it all. But then for it all, Job said, for God I live and for God I die. He trusted God above everything else that he had because he knew that this God that he was serving is an on-time God, that he trusted in the power of God. Forget about yourself and think about Lord God Almighty. God, you didn't bring me this far to leave me alone. You brought me this far because to show me that I needed you in everything that I'm doing in my life. Sometimes no is the best thing that you can hear because it makes you persevere and you just stay right there because you know that somewhere in his word he said that he wouldn't leave you and he'd be with you at all times. He was with Jesus when he was on the cross and he was with him when they put him in the tomb and he was with him when he rose again. So therefore, if he was with him, he will not leave us because he has the power. He has power in his word. All he has to do is just speak. Everything was there in the beginning, but nothing happened until God spoke his word. When God spoke, things all began to happen, and God can speak, and men can live, and he can speak, and men will die. That's the power that he has. There's power in the name of Jesus, and when you trust in him, everything will be all right. You might not like what you're going through. If you don't like what you're going through, tell your daddy about it. And he will provide a way out. He's already made a way for you to escape anyway. All you got to do is just trust him. And when you trust him and lean
and depend on him, everything will be all right. The pain may still be there, but you don't give it place in your life. The trouble may still be there. The person on the job that's always bothering you may still be on the job, but you don't see them as a problem. You look at them and say, thank you, Lord, for providing me with this. I'm going to get through this because I'm trusting in you. You got the power all in your hand. Everything belongs to you. God, your power is strong enough to enable me to handle this. I can't do this by myself, but I'm trusting in you. When you trust in him, he will provide what you need. He'll respond. My strength is greater when it's in weakness. That's what he told Paul. His strength, when you can't do, lean and depend on God. God will provide just what you need. Thank you, Holy Ghost. When God is silent, when heaven is silent, don't give up. Don't quit. Just stay right there and know he's coming. When he comes, he'll bring a blessing with him. Might not hear from him today, but that's all right. If God talked to you all the time, you wouldn't have time to do anything else. There's only about 4 or 5, maybe 10 or 12 big turns in your life where you need God, because most of the time he's already told you what he's going to do for you right here in his word. You just have to find it. But every now and then he'll come by to talk to you. He'll change your direction because you're going wrong. You need to know that when heaven is silent, there's a message on the way. If he have not already given you the answer, just stay with God. See, sometimes we don't want to suffer. We want everything on the flower beds of ease. Don't want no difficulties in our life. We want everything to be hunky-dory. But there's going to be some bad bumps in the road. And there's going to be some that you can't see. But then when heaven is silent, you got the assurance that God is always listening. He's always there. And he will provide just what you need. Listen to me. I'm down to my conclusion now. I don't have much to say, but God will not grant every request that you make. That may shock some of you, because you see him as Santa Claus. Everything you want on your list, he needs to provide. If he provides you with everything that's on your list when you ask for it, you wouldn't be where you are today. You'd be somewhere else. But because he grants it, when it's time, everything will be all right. God won't take away every pain that's in your body, because you got to look to him for something. If everything was always all right, you wouldn't come to church. You wouldn't get on your knees to pray. You have a lot of things you wouldn't do, because I got it made. Everything's all right. But see, some things you got to depend on God. Say, like you're inhaling and you're exhaling. You can't do that without God, because that's his breath. And you ought to thank him for just letting you breathe, just letting you see this day. Lord, I thank you. But God, when he answers no, he's always gentle. He's not harsh, and he's not arrogant, because you are his child. He'll answer you as gentle as he can, let you know that no with God is better than yes with the devil. See, that's what some of us don't see. We want a yes. See, sometimes no is just what you need. Get good, God Almighty. You got to just love him and let him come into your life. Let him take you in his arms. Even though heaven is silent and he answered you no, God will provide. Well, I'm through. But let me tell you a story. There's an author, and some of you are probably familiar with her. Her name is Kay Arthur. She's written several Christian books. And she has her own radio program. And one day at home, she was getting out of her car with an arm full of grocery and an arm full of books. And as she got out in the driveway, she looked at the
green grass that was in her yard. And she was a widow and she had two children, and she was thinking about that. And as she saw it walking across the grass, her mind went back to when her father was alive. And as she was walking in her house, in her book she says that, as I was walking down the hall of this house, that I could hear my shoes hitting on the tile. She said, then all of a sudden, in my mind, I became a seven-year-old child looking for my father. And oh, by the way, she said, my father was the king, and I was his only daughter. So down the long corridor, there was two guards standing at the double doors. And she said, they were standing up there with their swords, and I saw them, and I started just running towards them. And said, before I could get to the door, said, both of them flung them open. Said, I looked in the arena, said, my father was sitting up there on the throne, said, all the other officers was around him. Said, Congress, or if it was Congress, legislation was in session. She said, but I was running down the hall to see my daddy. Saying, as the guards flung the door open, said they both of them hollered out, the king's daughter. Said, and they just kept talking, said she just ran down the aisle. Saying she could just see her father reaching down, grabbing her in the midst of all those legislators and everybody, and taking her up in his arms. And so he said, daughter, said, tell your daddy. What's wrong? And she said, I could see God taking me in his arms. The moral of the story is that no matter what God is in the process of doing, when his child comes into his presence, they are all that matters. Even though heaven may be silent, you can get an answer from God. Someone had said silent is consent. But when heaven is silent, you do not need to think that God is not working on your situation. God is always looking after his children. He never stops looking after you because you are one of his children. That will extend an invitation. If you are not one of his children and you want to become a child of his, this is your time.